Whoa, hello.
Hello.
How's it going, guys?
Hi, fuck fam.
Fuck fam.
What up, what up?
Whoa, who's this sexy boy right here? Why are you so shy?
So shy.
Why are you, what's wrong?
So attractive.
Wow, that's a great name for everyone listening.
The fuck fam?
Fuck fam?
Hello, fuck fam.
You like that?
He's cringing.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you're looking good. All black.
Thank you.
With
thank
the
you.
Apple Watch. I thought it was a real watch, and I took a double take, and it was
I know. People like,
it's so cool.
Oh, shit. It's like a very expensive watch. I'm like, it's just an Apple Watch.
I want to get one.
You look like my crush, my crushes that are anime characters.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
He kind of dresses like that, right? And
yeah.
He looks like it, too. Yeah. You look like my 2D crush.
Yo, how do you learn? I am so bad with fashion. I'm trying to, like,
how do you mean?
I don't know. How do you think of ideas to dress
great.
Like that?
It's
like,
just all black. You just have to wear all black, right?
Yeah.
It's very put together.
But then
though.
You have, like, the lines. It's very, like, detail oriented. Like, even
the
your socks match your, like, it's crazy. Like,
now you're looking too deeply into it.
No, you put thought into it. Like, you.
Thank you.
There you go. That's fucking nice.
Yeah.
So I came across David on TikTok, and I love his content, and I reached out to him, and I'm so glad I did. You can go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi, I'm David. David Sa, not David Sue. I guess now I'm on TikTok and people are finding me on there.
Yeah.
And then Instagram.
You're really popular on TikTok.
Really? Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blowing up the FYPs. Oh, man.
Thank you. I'm just like a Korean boy from Korea who wanted to become a photographer. And then now I'm here during the quarantine. I guess, 2 years ago? And I didn't come over 2 years ago. I'm saying, like, during quarantine, that's when I really just started, like, creating stuff.
On TikTok.
TikTok,
right?
Yeah. It's my ninth year in America.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So where were you born? Where'd you grow up?
Oh, boy. Okay. Born in New Jersey, but we peaced out with the citizenship. Thank you, Mama and Papa.
Okay.
So we went back to Korea, motherland. Pretty much lived 9 years in Korea, 9 in Hong Kong, and it's my ninth year here.
Oh, okay.
In Korea, yeah. Then Hong Kong.
Then Hong Kong, yeah.
Well, that's different.
It's pretty crazy. It's like a whole, like, I'm a third culture kid. I went to international school. So pretty much I say, like, I grew up with, like, secondhand American culture.
Mm-hmm. Secondhand American culture.
Yeah. Like, okay. Like, everything was in English at school. But then the moment you step out of school, then it's, like, Hong Kong or Korea.
Interesting, yeah.
You know. Do you like Korea better or Hong Kong better, like living wise?
Hong Kong, I did first grade to eighth grade. So like hanging out at that time was just like going over to friends' place or like coming over to my place and just like playing like Xbox or whatever game we all had. I didn't get to like explore really Hong Kong like my older sister did, who got to like go out a little bit more and party and stuff like that. So kind of hard to say because it was very different stages of my life.
Yeah.
I mean, Korea is like homeland for me. So.
Yeah. I love Korea.
Yeah, me too.
Have you guys been?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have.
We love
it. We actually met in Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah. We
met in Korea.
Yeah. We met on Instagram at first and we were friends. And then we were in Korea. We're in Korea getting our noses done.
Oh, shit.
And we saw each other on each other's stories.
Yep.
And then we texted or
getting
then we messaged.
Your nose is done.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then we messaged each other and we met up in Korea and then we've just been best friends since.
It was like fate. Seriously.
Yeah, it really
was like fate. And we met in the same area,
yeah.
Same time.
Was it the same surgeon too?
No,
different
surgeon. Yeah, but in the same neighborhood.
It's not
like
fate no more.
Yeah.
I mean, I was gonna say, what are you guys doing in Korea? Eating the good food?
Of course we got food.
Also eating the good shopping. Food, but
and the good nose.
Yeah. We'd love it there.
Yeah. I haven't been in like 2 years. All my family's back in Korea.
Oh really?
Okay. Nice.
Once a year, but once the stuff goes down, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, hopefully we can get back.
Yeah, we want to get back to Korea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you said that you've been working on content creation for the past 2 or so years since quarantine. But before then, you said you were doing photography. Can you tell us a little bit more about, like, we'll get to the content creation, obviously, but I want to hear more about you as a photographer.
Yeah. Me as a photographer, let's see. So my photography business-wise, I mean, the foundation of everything I do is really about capturing the everyday people's beauty for them to see as beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because like it's not for others. And I say it very specifically, it's for them. Because too many times it's like, oh, let me do it for Instagram. Oh, let me do it for like Hollywood. Or even like maybe it's like Valentine's coming up pretty soon. You know, they're like, oh, can I do like a boudoir album for my partner? I'm like, what about for you? You know, like when's the last time you did, like you showed yourself how beautiful you are. You know what I mean? So like it's very much on sort of that kind of foundation. Mm-hmm. And even to the point where sometimes I don't even consider myself an artist, right? Do you guys know the difference between like art and design by any chance?
No, but
you're a designer?
Yeah. I went to UC Davis undergrad for design.
Okay.
The really interesting thing about art and design, because you know it's used so interchangeably.
Yeah.
The difference is that art doesn't need any reason. You create, right?
Okay.
Whatever emotion, you just create something. But design, there's always purpose. Right. Okay. Like even these like microphones, there was a need for it, so someone designed it.
Okay, makes sense.
And then they can always like mix in between each other. Of course, good design can also have good art. But for me, so I bring that up because I'm so not like I'm not really creating for myself when I'm photographing others. It's so much about how can I create something for you that you love, that you see as beautiful. And like in a weird way, it's almost like design.
Are you designing beauty, like inner, or like are you designing?
Oh my gosh, that sounds kind of weird.
It does sound weird. But are you, or are you designing? I don't know. This got really deep. My two brain cells are.
I had to go 5,000 miles an hour here. Like whoa.
Yeah, but I can see what you mean by saying that you're more of a designer because there's purpose behind what you're doing.
It's a very specific like experience. I work with people who, again, I mentioned the everyday people, right? Like, what do I mean by the everyday people? It's people who aren't models, who aren't comfortable being in front of the camera. They're not in front of the camera.
Yeah.
These might be like single moms, or it might be just like, someone graduating out of high school. Like they all have their own set of insecurities and they're not, they're all sort of like just living their own lives.
Yeah.
Right. And then, like beauty standard wise too, they might think that they're just off trajectory from like where the social beauty standard is at the moment.
Yeah.
So those are the people that I work with. These are the people that, I want to show them that they are beautiful. Right, so you know, it takes a lot. It takes a lot to do that for someone who, you know, everyone has their own experiences with photography and photos of themselves.
Yeah.
And then it goes into, you know, like your journey of your self-image, your relationship with beauty, and all that stuff. And like thinking of all of that to be able to help someone see their first photo that they think is beautiful is like really. I need to create it very with a lot of sensitivity.
Yeah.
Right. I can't just create and say, oh my gosh, this is a beautiful photo for me. There's so many times that when I think something is so beautiful, my client just can't see it. To them, they might see something. It might be a physical trait almost. It might be like, oh, my arm or my nose or whatever it is. Like they can't get past that.
Yeah.
Right? So it doesn't matter how beautiful I think it is.
Yeah, so how do you cater? How do you do that? That's interesting because like you're trying to create something that adheres to some sort of beauty standard, but not really because everyone doesn't beauty standards don't apply to everyone and it has to be something that they find beautiful. So how do you figure out how to make like that picture?
Yeah, like what kind of questions do you ask your every new client that comes in? Like what kind of questions do you ask them to like get to know their what they like? Like what do
Actually, I guess I'm thinking about it. I don't really even ask too many questions. I think, I wish I can show you. Maybe I can show you. So
yeah.
One of the things, even before like tackling like insecurities and things like that, it's just like how we feel in front of the camera and photo shoots. And the clients I think majority of people don't like being in front of the camera. And it's like a natural thing. You have to get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
So me guiding my clients through every single pose and expression already like does bulk of the job for me in achieving, like creating that beautiful photo that they see as beautiful. Jade, you can do this with me. Like, I always say I'm going to be your mirror today.
Okay.
Right? I'm going to literally guide you from your brows to your toes. You don't have to second guess anything.
Okay.
Right? So when I say I'm going to be your mirror, you can bring your hand up just like this, right? Because I'm your mirror. Perfect. Uh-huh. And then I'm going to have you bring your head around back this way. Bring your nose down this way. Still looking at me.
Okay. Yeah.
And then back to the center. And if I was standing up, then I would like move my leg too and we would go through that mirror. But it's this interesting thing where when we're told what to do, when we're showed guidance through to what to do, like our brain stops thinking about all these other things. Like, oh my gosh, I feel so nervous. Or, oh my gosh, what does my pinky toe look like right now? Yeah. Instead, we just go into the sort of almost like a mindless mode of just following. And then I also have this philosophy of posing being a way of communicating, mm-hmm. right? Instead of like what we might be misled to think of posing might be, which I think through like just advertisements, magazines, like Hollywood, Instagram, all that stuff, I think a lot of us think like posing might be, oh my gosh, yeah, I have to memorize this pose. Okay, what's next? This. Oh yeah, it's like this one TikToker said, do this, so let me do this, right?
Mm, yeah.
For me, it's instead like, how do we communicate with our bodies? And we've actually like, I don't think we understand how important like nonverbal communication is. Like our tone, our hands, and all that stuff actually makes up 60% of our communication.
Yeah. Whoa. So you're probably really good at...
I feel like he is.
Reading body language, you know?
Well, he's like, very good at his body language himself. Like, I feel like you're very, like, composed, right? You're very eloquent.
I'm dying inside. No, I'm just joking. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Is that something that you have to train yourself to do? Or, like, are you cognizant of it all the time? Or is this really just how you are as a person?
Well, I'm definitely, like, aware of it. But when I teach my students about posing... Where people feel nervous and anxious about imposing is, again, they don't know what to do. You know, I'm sure you've experienced this. Maybe yourself or your friends, when you're taking a photo for them, they're like, what do I do with my hands, right?
Yeah, hands are always the worst.
It's also interesting because hands are the last thing I always teach my students to change. Mm. There's so many other things we can change that creates a bigger impact than like us doing something with our face, trying to be some sort of like model or something.
Next top model.
Yeah, like all this stuff. And like for me, it's like, how do you communicate with your body, right? So when I say that, it's kind of like this. It's like, let me see. Maybe Kat, I can pose you.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like me right now. It's like me right now telling you, Kat, feel cool.
Oh God.
Right. That versus right. If I was doing the mirror thing with you again, so like this hand, perfect. Okay. We've synchronized. All right. Yes. Let's, can I have you sit on your hips side? Sorry.
Like
trying
this.
To find what, like this, kind of like a mermaid.
Yep.
And just bring your arm up here and go over here. Perfect. This hand, you can go for a little touch of your hair. Eyes on me. Chin up a little bit. And then, like, I almost don't even have to tell you to feel, like, cool.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. And then you go over here. You can just go right here. And that's it. And it's, like, it's such a simple thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
There's a stark difference between me just telling you to act cool or be cool versus me telling you or showing you to portray that feeling through body language.
Yeah.
And even you right now, like, this feels so cool.
It does.
Like, how do you feel? Do you feel cool?
I feel very cool. I feel cooler than I've ever felt.
Look at you.
Yeah, I definitely feel like if I was at a photo shoot and a photographer was like, look cool, I'd be like, what kind of command is that?
There's I know a lot of photographers that do that though. And like, especially
tell them off. Be like no.
I mean, especially in like the world of boudoir photography and like male photographers and like them being like, oh, be sexy or put on a sexy face. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? That's so gross.
What about correcting your clients, or not correcting, but like Okay, so for example, I don't know about you when you shoot, Jade, but at some of my photo shoots, there are some photographer, like one photographer that I shoot with in particular, we have pretty good rapport, but sometimes he'll just be like, ooh, don't make that face is ugly. And automatically it'll just like, you know, I'll just be like, oh, you know, and I'll get really annoyed, but also I'll feel really insecure. But like, how are you able to talk to your clients and be like, oh, make another face without, or like practicing etiquette, good etiquette is what I'm trying to say.
How much guidance does he give you besides this, these terrible, like, don't do that and like negative affirmations?
I don't think it's, he's not like a portrait photographer. So not a lot of guidance. It's more of like,
like he just shoots.
Yeah,
and like
shoots,
you just
yeah.
pose automatically.
Yeah, there's no, I wish I had guidance when we're shooting, but I guess the types of shoots we do, we don't really get much guidance ever.
Yeah, we
right?
don't.
No,
we don't. They're just like, go do it. And then just, they just yeah. they click, yeah. click, click, click,
yeah,
click,
yeah.
you know?
I think that's where the disconnect is.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to be that kind of photographer too. Maybe like 9 years ago when I was just first starting to learn the camera. Uh-huh. And I would just focus on me and the camera and not even realize how nervous or awkward my client or whoever I was photographing was feeling.
Yeah.
And it's this goes kind of deeper too. Let me see. And we usually see this with guys. There's, you know how there's that whole joke of like guys on like Tinder and online dating, like just the fish pics, and they don't know how to take good photos of themselves because society doesn't like push that kind of like behavior.
Yeah.
Right? Like guys shouldn't take photos, guys shouldn't be emotional, guys shouldn't cry, guys shouldn't dress, all that stuff, right? So, I mean, we see like the consequence of that in the society, like online dating, or even just like as a photographer. They don't know, like in their brain, they might be just thinking logically and solution based of like, oh, gross, don't do that.
Right.
But what if it was swapped around, right?
Yeah.
Like they don't know what it feels like to be in front of the camera because they don't do it. Now they're just like here to click buttons.
Yeah. Right? So as a photographer, I guess like what you learned, I guess, is like empathy, a lot of empathy for your
clients. For sure.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's why it's so important for me to, I mean, like if you've seen my content, I'm in dresses, I'm in wigs, I'm
yeah.
in like fabulous poses. And it's important for me to feel that, understand what it feels like to be photographed. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm taking it to like extra steps to really empathize from another level with my clients. But at the end of the day, like if I didn't seek a beautiful photo of myself, then I wouldn't know what my clients are coming to me for.
Yeah.
Right? Like I would never tell you like, ew, don't do that face. Right? To me, I would say, oh, let's just try, bring your chin around this way.
Mm.
Let's do this way.
That's so much nicer.
Just relax your lips just a little bit. Yeah. And then like there's no need to say gross or ew, never do that again. Right.
Yeah.
So for me, I just guide you through everything. And like, there's no right or wrong answer. Right. For me, when I do that too, I'm just looking to see all the different options. I say, ooh, that's the one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then like throughout the photo shoot, I might show you a couple and then learn myself as well. Cause I know that there are things that I don't see that you might see. Right. It might be like things like an arm or a pinky toe or whatever it is that I don't know about, but it's sort of like in your journey of, again, self-image and beauty.
Right.
So also creating that environment and space for you to be able to openly tell me those kind of things. Right.
Yeah.
And it can't happen if I say, ew, don't do
that's
that.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of photography, what type of photography exactly do you do?
What type of photography do I do?
Yeah.
I guess it's just portrait photography. Right, like to like generally put it, but it's honestly just anything to make you feel good
mm-hmm.
and look good, right? Like, what can I do to create the most beautiful photo for you? Everything for you.
So empathetic. You have such a big heart. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. So the whole thing of that started because, like, the whole thing started when. This was probably like in high school when I was so infatuated with photography and like camera. And like, this is when I was first starting to soak up everything as like a sponge on YouTube, like how to do this kind of technique and how to do that. Again, I'm just so glued to my camera. Mm. And I'm just like, oh, today I'm gonna work on this technique, right? And then I took a photo of my sister that I thought was the coolest photo. I'm like, oh my gosh, this technique, it looks so cool. I just learned it and I showed it to her. And by the way, like my whole family is like just really, really slim, right? She's like the skinniest person I know.
Whoa.
And she was like, David, I look fat.
What?
No.
And like my mind at that point, I just couldn't understand. I couldn't understand. And we all like, as friends and family, tend to do this thing of like, no, you don't look fat.
Right.
You don't. But then we're almost like, we're almost, what's the word? We're almost not acknowledging their feelings. Like us telling them that they're not doesn't let their feelings like go away or anything, right? They're still feeling that towards that photo.
Like it just invalidates their feelings. It doesn't make it go away.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, is there any truth to like, there's always this cliche, right? The camera adds 10 pounds. As a photographer, does the camera or does taking a picture actually warp the way someone looks?
I think bad camera adds 10 pounds.
Okay.
Right, like bad, yeah. A bad photographer will add 10, maybe even 20, 30 pounds. I don't know what it is, but it's like this. I talk about this analogy. When it comes to like understanding our beauty,
yeah,
and the relationship with our beauty and photos.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to draw a picture of Jade, right? And my drawing is not that great. Is nowhere near close to like my photography skills. It's like kindergarten levels, right? Mm. It might as well just be a stick figure.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. She's basically a stick figure.
It might be just like a T-Rex version of you.
Oh, right? Nice. I like that. Yeah,
oh, shit. Yeah. No, it's not. This is to be bad. Just for example.
Oh, okay.
Right. Let's say I draw this like a photo of you. I'm like, oh, Jade, let me draw this portrait of you,
uh-huh,
and I give you that. Obviously it looks terrible. It's a stick figure, you got like T-Rex hands, but we don't look at that and associate it with our beauty. But if I were to take a terrible photo of you, like put the phone right under your chin, you have a bunch of double chin, some crazy lighting, right?
Yeah, yeah, like that. Yeah.
And then I showed you that, it's like oh shit, do I really look like that?
Really, yeah. Brings me down. Like
right.
Yeah, you have a lot of power as a photographer, I think.
You do.
Yeah, wow. I never thought about that, but you do have a lot of power.
You really do.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like...
You're like a superhero.
Yeah, or like God.
Oh, wow.
Like God.
Yeah, you're like a superhero too. Like, and you bring them up.
Oh, shit. Wow.
It's a lot of responsibility, David.
Yeah.
It is a lot of responsibility.
No pressure.
It's actually sort of like irrational fear of mine. Like the sort of the superhero, the direction you're going with this,
yeah,
uh-huh,
of like, wow, you have like so much power, like because of social media and the perception I think some of my followers have of me, thinking that I could almost fix any problem that they might have, like almost like I'm like way past a photographer, like therapist, like whatever it is, a beacon of, I don't know, like self-love and all this stuff. My fear is that one follower who only thinks I'm the only person who can ever create a beautiful photo that they love, but I can't do that for them. And then them thinking it's just like over, they can never see it. That's like an irrational fear I've built over just like social media and stuff.
Wow, is that you can't help everyone who...
And it shouldn't be that, you know? It's not like, I'm not here guaranteeing people something, you know, like I just can't, I'm not a therapist, I'm not more than just a photographer. At the end of the day, I'm still just a photographer.
Oh, so humble. Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, we didn't mean to unlock that security or insecurity in you.
Yeah.
No, I think it's really, really great what you're doing. So... As a photographer, you decided to, you said during quarantine, go into content creation.
Mm.
And the stuff that I've seen online of you is like largely...
What have you seen?
You in a dress, you in a wig, looking fabulous.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. Yeah, literally fabulous. Yeah, I think the first TikTok I saw of you was like, you were in this like flowing red dress. And I was like, who is this guy?
Click, follow right away.
Yeah, yeah, I did. I followed right away and like stalked him on Instagram. Yeah.
Simp.
Yeah. But yeah, I see that a lot of your stuff is like largely educational. So like, could you go into describing more about what your content is?
Yeah. I mean, it all started, actually, I've always been sort of a content creator behind just like being a photographer. So, oh my gosh, this is making me so like bubbly inside.
As you should.
Okay.
Bubbly, the more bubbly, the better.
Yeah, I don't want to like burp on...
Do it. Podcast. It's fine.
It's okay. It shows character.
Yeah. It means we're all close.
It shows character.
Listen, yeah. Justin Park came on and clipped his toenails in the bathroom. Yep. You can burp.
Yep. You can clip your toenails here too. You can clip your toenails. Be comfortable.
Justin
do
is
you.
Never gonna live that down. He's literally never gonna live that down.
Wow. We remember him to this day for that.
Do you have that in like a plastic bag or something?
No, just in my fucking toilet.
Oh shit.
Like right, just clipping his toenails. Like.
Oh shit. Yeah, I won't do that. I won't burden you with my toenails. But content creation wise, I guess going into starting my small business as like a photography studio, I've always been of the mindset of creating content more so than using my Instagram as a portfolio. Right. So if you think of the average Joe, photographer in LA, if you were to click into their Instagram bio, what do you see? What are the top 9 photos that you see?
Pictures of their work.
Yeah. Pictures of their work. Like probably just other models on top of other models. Just their work. And like for me, I said at a certain point, this does not provide value to my future clients and my clients. Right? Like how many times do they have to see my work? Right? For them to know that I do good work.
Mm.
Right? Instead, I would rather talk about create content that says how to pack for your photo shoot. Is it your first time doing a photo shoot? How can you deal with your anxiety and nerves? How do you pose if you want to look taller? Like all these kind of stuff. Like I've always been thinking about and creating content for.
Yeah.
It just kind of like took off when I started creating TikTok at the beginning of the pandemic.
Mm.
So, I mean, the reason I started creating content on TikTok was I just love what I do. And I wanted to share the joys of what I do. And I think one of the first few things that really took off was a funny little sketch, a skit I did of me photographing a shy client who just turns like into an absolute badass by the end of the shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was me playing both characters. And that's when the ooh fingers really popped off.
Yes.
And it was like this, it was a really cute skit of... me playing a really shy client and just turning into an absolute diva by the end. And it's just something that actually happens almost all the time at my shoot. And it was just, that's something that's really joyful for me. It's really fulfilling when I go through that with a client. I can help a client come out of the shell. So I just simply wanted to share that.
Right? Yeah.
It's funny because some photographers now that follow me, they're like, oh my gosh, David, this is great marketing.
What?
I mean, yes, I've gotten. I mean, like, I'm, you know, very grateful for all the clients I get through social media now. But it was never in the mind of marketing.
Mm.
It was always just of, hey, this is what I love to do.
Mm.
So, like, for a long time, I wouldn't see burnout with it, with creating content.
You're like a giver, like always giving value.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
yeah. As like an educational content creator, you must have a lot of people reaching out to you constantly asking questions or like, what are some of the most common concerns that people have pertaining to taking photos, et cetera, taking photos? Yeah.
Common questions.
Do you get a lot of DMs, like questions?
I do. And they're always very specific. It's interesting because let's say I posted, 3 poses for 3 poses to do in your skirt, right? And then I get a comment from someone that says, what about if I'm short in the skirt? And then right below I say, like, what if I'm tall in the skirt? And then I get like, what if I'm plus size in skirt? And then there's a whole of like these like
different other variations
of like skirt and the plus size and the short. And then like, what if I'm wearing like a hijab and like all this stuff? And I'm like, oh, like wearing a hijab doesn't really change. And like, it's just, I get a lot of like personalized things.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you get sexy DMs?
No, not really.
Really?
No.
No, interesting.
I have a very wholesome community.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Wow.
But the women never actually fall in love with you? I feel like you're very lovable.
Yeah, I'm sure you make a lot of people like fall in love.
Yeah, because you're very kind, you're empathetic, and you don't seem like a creep. Honestly, I feel like that's our bars are very low as women, but like you really don't come off as like just a creepy. I mean, obviously you're a professional photographer, but you don't seem like a creep, and you seem very genuine you're attractive. So
thank you.
We would think that
you must have girls hitting on you. Come on, David.
I have a really odd like radar with that. I think.
What do you mean? Like you don't know if they like you?
Yeah. I mean, unless they say I like you, then yeah, I feel like I can't tell.
What? But your awareness is so good. Body language, just, like, just come like on, a girl's
it's
like
different. It's different, Jade. Yeah. It's a different kind of awareness, right? Like, it's a different kind.
But like, if a girl like touches her hair or something, you know, she likes you or something. Like,
no, this is social media. The world is sending me a video of like this.
Yeah, of course I understand.
They're like, hey, David, you know,
or like nudes. Like, I don't know.
No, never.
Whoa.
No. Yeah, I wouldn't think that girls would send David nudes. I feel like more so just be like a flirty text if that. He's not like Dan Bilzerian.
That's true. Do you get flirty texts?
Sometimes, yeah. But they're very mild stuff.
Oh. What's your dating history like now that we're now that we're here?
Yeah.
Dating history right now is really really interesting.
Ooh.
Because I get recognized a lot.
I bet.
I talk about this on my TikTok live, and I say it's really. It's almost frustrating. I don't know how to.
Why is it frustrating?
Date.
Isn't that a good thing that people?
No, because it creates a really weird like dynamic, right? Because
when you're on a date.
Yeah,
but it makes you like I don't know.
No, I don't want them. I don't want to bring up. I don't want them to know.
And that like, you're a creator.
And really?
I don't talk about it by myself. Like I never bring it up. It's never like a front or anything.
Well, that's like going out with like that's like dating a fan, right? It's like you don't want to date a fan.
But like I think when I tell my friends this for the first time, they also said, "Oh yeah, like a fan, like almost like the extreme case." They like in their mind they're like, "Oh, of course, like if David meets an extreme fan, it must be terrible." But it's not even that. Even if they know about me and TikTok, here's a scenario that actually happened really recently. Right, we're on a date and I mean, I'm genuinely curious and interested in you because we both said, hey, we're attracted to each other, whatever we saw, and let's go on a date. We mutually agreed, let's go like get to know each other.
Sure.
Right? Then I'm here, I'm like, oh, what do you do? All this stuff, and I'm finding out, and I'm like, oh, you're a content creator? Oh my gosh, what do you do? And this girl, for instance, like, maybe not, maybe it's too fresh. but like let's say I met you, I'm like, oh, you do content creation, what else do you do? And then let's say we spent like 15 minutes of me asking you questions, like genuine curiosity and genuine questions on your career and why you love doing that, and then you don't ask anything about what I do. Because you know what I do. I don't know that you know that. And now I just feel shitty because I'm like, are you not interested in me?
Right. So they know everything about you already?
That's why I said, it's not even, I'm very open on social media. So if someone wanted to, they can know like a bunch about me, but it's not even about the quantity of knowledge. It's just like, even if they know who I am,
right?
Like many times they try to hide it and it doesn't come from like an ill intent, right? I don't want you to think like a very extreme thing again. Like they also don't know how to approach it. They're like, oh, I don't want to be the first thing I say. But then I still want to be honest. But then it just creates a really weird dynamic.
And it's awkward.
And it's awkward.
Awkward as fuck. Oh,
and like,
my God.
I actually, that's how I actually find out quite early on the date. Like if I, like I always ask them about their career and if they don't ask back, I know almost immediately.
That they have knowledge of you as a creator.
And then I don't know how much. right? I don't know how much they know and all that stuff. I'm like,
so what happens after? You're like, what do you say? Like, what do you do?
I'm just like, oh, like, what have you seen? And then it just, I don't know.
It gets more awkward.
There's a part of, I think there's a part of me that can also play it a little bit more chill. Uh-huh. But it's just like the shock of like, ah, shit, you knew this whole time.
Yeah.
And then my body language changes. I'm like, I'm a very like physical touch person. So like if I'm like, ah, mm-hmm. you know, and then like for this date instance too, I was just like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Rejected.
I had better success dating older girls. Mm. I think it might be because they're not so infatuated with social media as much right. as someone that might be younger. And usually they just like acknowledge it. They don't like try to go around. They acknowledge it. And then they like, they're generally curious, of course. They're like, mm-hmm. even if they know that I'm a content creator, they still want to know more.
Yeah.
So then they ask, they're not shy to talk about it, but it's not their like, whole reason to talk to me either.
Yeah. Mm.
So I don't know. It's like a weird, I don't know what would happen if I met someone who like a celebrity or something, how I would like act on it. But that's just how I feel from like sort of like the creator end. If I meet someone who knows me and they don't tell me about it.
Who do you want? What kind of celebrity do you want to meet? Like who is like your ideal? Like
on a date?
Yeah.
That's weird. I don't think about
Do you have like a celebrity crush? Like any like maybe,
like Jessica Alba back in like middle school.
Oh shit. I love Jessica Alba. Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, so dating's been tough, huh?
Yeah, very tough.
Man.
Very
tough.
You were talking about body language during a date and kind of had a body language during a date and different signs that you can give off. Yeah, as like a photographer, like what are some ways to read body language? Specifically in the context of a date, and what type of body language do you like to use?
Oh shit, I'm not a dating expert.
Maybe just for confidence, just to you know, as a confident person, if you want to come off confident and attractive,
like open energy. I mean, this is something I learned even in like intro to speech in UC Davis. Mm-hmm. Because everyone in the class obviously very nervous, and the professor would tell us, hey, if you're really nervous, right before your speech, go to the bathroom, look yourself in the mirror, and like almost like Superman pose. Look yourself in the mirror like and this. Do that. Yeah. Mm. And just like stay there for like 5 seconds. And like our mind and our body is so closely like linked that it almost like tells our mind that, hey, I'm actually like feeling really strong and powerful right now, even though like there's this crazy fear of being in front of like 20, 30 students to do a speech. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to the same thing of like, hey, instead of like saying feel sexy,
right?
Getting you into a pose, a body language of communicating that, it's just sort of like starts sparking something else for you to start feeling that way instead of me telling you to do so.
Yeah.
Right. So open energy, I think, is a big thing. Not to like close in.
Right.
I mean, like open eye contact and things like that, I think.
I think eye contact is like one of the hardest things for me to maintain, especially while eating on a date, because like when you're talking and eating, tough, I feel weird looking them in the eyes while they're eating. But then if I look away, I seem disinterested. So like I'm always kind of like unsure.
Yeah. I think there's like the weird psychology rule of like, what is it? I think you can make eye contact for like 5 seconds or so, and then you want to break away for like a couple seconds and then come back.
Yeah,
at least for like maximum comfort.
Oh, that's what it is. 5 seconds, break away, and then come back.
Don't take my word for it. Yeah. But there is like a duration. There's like a good duration. Okay. That's studied scientifically.
Oh, what happens if you just keep staring?
Then it gets like too like
awkward.
And, oh shit, this is like a stare down.
Yeah. Jade loves to keep staring.
I love staring.
Jade just stares until the other person dies, literally.
It was just fun. I just like eye contact. It's fun. I like eye contact.
You like eye contact.
I like it, yeah.
Do you like eye contact or do you like seeing the other person shrivel?
Both.
That's what you said. That's what you said. I'm just repeating what you said.
Yeah. Oh, man.
No, I mean, eye contact would be very important too. And just like open energy. And I think when you can get yourself to like relax as much as possible, not like David, relax. Well, like, get your body in a position where it's relaxed. Then I think it follows through on the other end as well.
Yeah. It's definitely hard to relax.
On a date?
On a date, or even just in a photo shoot sometimes. Mm. Yeah. But,
like, how did you build up your confidence? Like,
I think very much so, like, seeking out beauty for myself was very important. Because, again, as a guy, that's not something I, like, grew up with. I didn't see, like, my self-image that way. So, you know, I wanted to seek out beauty for myself. I always tell my, like, students and followers, too, like, you owe it to yourself to see your beauty. No one, because who else is going to do that for you? You know, so it was going through that journey and experience for myself of doing self-portraits, trying different things. I think also, like, I was in a 5-year relationship maybe three, four years ago. And then, like, after coming out of that, I finally started doing things for myself, too. And that was really important.
What happened during the 5-year relationship that you don't feel like you were doing things?
It was like a college relationship. Okay. And we call it, like, people joked around saying it's dorm cest because we met in the dorm.
Dorm cest.
Yeah.
That's romantic.
Very romantic. And then, I mean, you can imagine, like, we meet, like, freshman year, and we go through the whole college experience together, hand in hand. Like, and then we barely had any friends, too. We're pretty much, like, married at that point, doing everything. And I, like, 3 years into, I think we both knew as well that it wasn't working out. We had some hiccups too, but it was just comfortable. It's too comfortable to leave it as well. So when you're, like, so used to doing something, all the activities and experiences with someone else, it's very hard to find space for you. So when that finally, you know, ended, then I was like, oh shit, I can, you know, like, at that time I wasn't even into, like, dressing myself and things like that. And she would be like, hey, like, there's a sales at H&M, you know, send me links and stuff. Like, and then Christmas gifts would also always be, like, clothes too, you know. And for me, I was like, oh, I need a dress, you know, because we're going on a date.
So this is a result of your ex? Like, this masterpiece right here.
No.
Slightly.
I mean, slightly, yeah. I mean, that was a big learning point for me. I always try to learn something from every relationship. So, I mean, for that, it was like, oh, shit, I can dress for myself, not for someone. It can be fun for myself. It can be a way to express for myself. Mm-hmm. So that was a big learning point there, which also led to, like, me photographing myself and adapting this mindset to seek beauty for myself.
That's great. Yeah.
Wow.
Speaking of beauty, maybe we can talk about different beauty standards. I find beauty standards pretty fascinating, especially East versus Western beauty standards, because I guess those are the most relevant in the context of just, like, living in America. But are there any other beauties? Like, I know we do East versus West. Let's just go over them right now. Like, what would you say the Eastern beauty standards are versus Western beauty standards?
Where do you guys grow up?
We were both born in China, but we grew up in America.
Oh.
Yeah.
When did you come over?
Almost four.
Four.
Yeah. I was, like, 4 months old.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's so fascinating because all I can really speak about is, like, Korea, because that's, you know, I spent, again, such different time in, like, different countries. And in Korea, we're so fascinated with the Western beauty. Mm. Like, we want to look more, like, white, like, Eurocentric beauty. Mm. And it's so funny because our idea of what Eurocentric beauty is also very skewed. Mm. It's like it went through a filter and then, like, now we, like, see this weird hodgepodge of thing as, like, oh yeah, like, that's what we're attracted to. There's, like, a fun YouTube video where this one Korean guy was interviewing foreigners, especially just, like, white foreigners, and saying, hey, like, this person got plastic surgery, saying they, like, so it's, like, a Eurocentric shaped, like, nose. Mm. And they would show them the picture and they're like, what? That was, like, inspired by our type of beauty? They're like, that doesn't look like us, kind of thing. Mm. So it's, like, a really weird fascination of, like, Eurocentric beauty, but then it's also not. and like we're creating our own, and it's becoming its own like standard in Korea. But then now we have things like Ariana Grande looking Asian. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have. Actually, yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Because there's some pretty big controversy around what people like to call Arigato Grande. It's a meme. It's not from me. It's a meme, guys.
What is that? What is Arigato Grande?
Okay, so the backstory is Ariana Grande took a set of pictures where apparently she photoshopped out her eyelid creases because she has very deep set eyes. So she either did her makeup in a way that made her eye creases go away, or she photoshopped them out. She wore very like Asian type clothing, very Korean style makeup. And she posted the photos, and then people accused her of Asian fishing for trying to look Asian. And she took down the photos immediately. And there was this whole thing on TikTok about how Ariana Grande is appropriating like Asian culture, Korean culture specifically. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And they started calling her Arigato Grande, which is not even the right word for like Asian fishing, because like they were saying she was appropriating Korean culture and arigato is Japanese.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So I was just asking him what his thoughts on the controversy
was.
That's
crazy.
Oh, God. Holy. I just eat my popcorn reading the comments. Okay, I don't know. Yeah. Like,
it's chilling.
You know, I mean, I also don't know the backstory of Ariana too well.
Yeah.
But I know she has a big background on like appropriating like different, like trying to look like something she's not. And sure. For a long time, I didn't know she was white.
What did you thought she was?
I thought she was like Hispanic.
Wait, she's just
too.
White? I thought she's Hispanic.
Yeah. She's Italian.
It's like, yeah. Yeah. Okay. But like she does the tans.
Uh huh.
And then like, and at one point I was like, is she half black? Is right. she like, you know, because uh-huh. like, you know, and then now she's swapped over to like looking more Asian. And people in the comments are like, oh yeah, because like K-pop is so popular now in America. Like now it's cool. You know, it's that thing. It's like when people can conveniently take what like as Koreans were made fun of and now make it cool because it's cool and in trend now, right? That's the part that's like that sucks.
That is true. But also like from the other side of things, if I were to think about it, and I'm not defending her because I'm eating my popcorn too. It's delicious popcorn.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Crispy.
But if people like Ariana Grande are also dressing, you know, or also dressing like K-pop style and making it more popular, isn't it also kind of a good thing? Because something that was once not really considered mainstream or cool, people that are in the mainstream are kind of making it seem more cool. Is that also a good thing, you think?
Well, it's that part of like the convenience.
When like hopping on the bandwagon?
Yeah, it's like, oh, like K-pop is cool. Let me do that now. Let me just like hop onto that. Mm-hmm. Versus people who actually are really into BTS and like they... Like, I feel like there's a really big difference. People who are into their Korean culture and they're learning it and they're you know, surrounded by other Koreans. I think that makes a big difference. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. I agree. Do you have any thoughts, Jane?
I don't know. Well, like, that's good. I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. Yeah, so.
Yeah, when I saw it, I thought it was interesting. I know a lot of people were like very angry about it. I thought it was interesting. I mean, it's the same as do you guys remember Avril Lavigne?
Yeah.
Yeah. Avril Lavigne came out when she came out with like this Hello Kitty song or something. And this was like a long time ago, but like she went through kind of the same thing. But she didn't try to look Asian. She was just wearing a bunch of Hello Kitty stuff.
East versus West.
East versus West.
Yeah.
So, Eastern people, you said, are like more Eurocentric in their standards. But it's interesting because Eurocentric doesn't necessarily mean American, because American beauty standards are like completely different, right?
Right.
Yeah. What would you say like the American beauty standards are?
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the Kardashians set it for a while. Like yeah. They sort of like set the standard for a while.
For sure.
But it might be like going through some changes now. But I don't know too much about it. But I feel like the Kardashians for a long time had a really big influence on just like the general, what like most people went for.
Yeah.
And beauty standards in America.
I think the biggest, like the most broad difference between what I can see Eastern and Western beauty standards is like, I feel like American Western beauty standards, it's more of like a mature, it's like more of like a mature glam look. Mm. Whereas in Eastern beauty standards, I feel like it's all about looking like innocent and almost like baby-like.
Mm.
For example, when we were in Korea getting our plastic surgeries, you know, common plastic surgeries in Korea and Asia is like, you know, fat grafting to your face to make your face look more baby-like, making your eyes look, you know, bigger.
Right.
And in America, it's like, actually, I think it's like buccal fat removal, right? You're taking fat away from your face.
Well,
to
it
make
goes
it more
into
angular.
Like makeup too, and makeup like
yeah.
Trends as well. Like we don't really contour the cheeks as much in Korea. Actually, I don't think they even do that.
Well, is it also because of our bone structure? Because every time I try to contour myself, I look like the matchmaker from Mulan. Like I literally look so awful. And I think it's because I do not have the bone structure to do it.
That I really can't speak on. I don't know. Whatever you have on right now, you look great.
Oh, you look so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I just put blush on the top of my cheeks. It's a very Asian. Yeah, I just blush the... To look like
maybe
this
I
drunk
to
fruit.
To,
I literally do this drunk fruit.
A drunk melon this time.
I look like a drunk melon.
Get your drunk fruit today.
What about photoshopping?
Mm.
As a photographer, I'm really interested to hear about how your thoughts on how people photoshop themselves and, you know, how is it okay, or how much of it is okay?
Jeez.
His reaction's like.
For me, let's talk about me first and like how I serve my clients. This goes back to just like finding ways for my clients to see how beautiful they are. And a lot of that is, again, tackled in the photo shoot themselves. How it's separated, like how the whole experience is separated is we have a style console, and we have a photo shoot, and then we have what we call a reveal session where they get to pick their favorite photos to take home and purchase.
Okay.
And something I always tell them at the end of the reveal session is I tell them, hey, you fell in love with photos that aren't even edited.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually they're blown away, and then they usually like cry there. And they're like, I totally thought these were edited. They can't believe in their mind that they're looking at a photo that they love this much, and to be investing this type of money, and it's not even edited, it's not even the final product. So I say that because the photo shoot itself and just everything leading up to it does most of the work of creating something that my clients love already. But of course there are things in there where my clients might say, hey, like, can you like lighten my smile line, or like my eye bags that the makeup didn't get. For me, when I edit without needing to ask permission from my client, I typically edit things that are only temporary. So if she had a blemish, right? If she had a pimple the last night, that's something that's going to disappear in a couple of days, and I'll say, okay, I'll remove that. If it's a scar that she's had since a child, I do not touch that. If it's a beauty mark, then I don't touch that. If it's something that I know she's brought up in the photo shoot, then I'll definitely ask her, hey, what do you think about this?
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. Oh, wow. So your rule of thumb is if it's temporary, like a blemish, you'll remove it. If it's not, then you typically won't touch it. What if as like a client, you know, I come in and I'm like, you know, I want you to make me look like... clearly I don't have an hourglass, but I want to look like Kim Kardashian. Can you like really just make me look completely different than I like do look in real life?
The thing is, I can make you look like Kim Kardashian through posing alone.
Okay.
Yeah. So like there's a lot of things we can do before editing, but I think maybe where I do have a little gripe on social media is people looking towards editing first to fix everything that they might be insecure mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. without knowing, hey, like through posing, you can actually do this. Mm. And with like clothing, you can also do this as well. With makeup, you can do this as well.
Right.
But it's thinking that just through like face tuning it, because everyone else face tunes it, is going to be a better photo. Like in their mind, it's like, oh, face tune is better no matter what. It is the part where I'm like, ah, no, I don't think that's healthy. Mm. Right? Like everything that Facetune does, I can do as well. Right? I can contour more. I can, if I need to move the jaw, I can move the jaw as well. But I want people using Facetune to know at least like what's being done and why they like it, and making that educated decision versus just, oh, through Facetune, now I like it.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. If a client were to come in and just like demand, like, you know, I want my, you know, my mid face shortened, you know, yeah, like all yeah. that, like do
all
you
this stuff change?
Yeah, all this yeah. stuff changed. Like as a photographer, is there any point where you're like, no, like I want to keep mine as a designer, you know, I have integrity.
It's interesting because I literally had this talk with my client like mm-hmm. yesterday, like a quite a long talk. I think we have to set the context better again, because that would never, it rarely happens. Because if I had a client who says the whole hourglass stuff, we would catch that in the initial call, right?
Right.
But by the time I'm editing their photos, we did the whole makeup, we did the whole outfit, we did the posing, all this stuff, and a lovely experience. And they already said, I love these photos. I purchased them, and then I'm editing them. Mm. At that point, I wouldn't be like, it's too 180 of a character for them to be like, oh my gosh, now I want a butt lift. Or, oh my gosh, I want this. Mm. Right. Okay. So if I was operating kind of like a Macy's, like photo booth kind of thing, where like, you just walk in, 1 hour photo shoot, and you tell me what you want, then it might be different. But usually with my clients, it's a lot of like, it's a very private experience where we have long sort of, we have many like update calls, style consults, and to figure out what they want.
Okay. Right?
So if they express things like that earlier on, then we would have addressed it at the photo shoot. And if not the photo shoot, then maybe we would say like, oh, it might not be a good match. You might be coming to us for maybe not the right reasons.
Okay.
You know?
So there are times where you have to reject clients.
Yeah.
Because you're not a good match.
Yeah. If going back to the question, I don't want to look like I'm dodging it. Like if my client does ask, let's say like, they're like, oh, my arm looks a little big. I bring that in.
Okay.
Right. Like, I'm not photographing for the public, right? This isn't some art piece where I'm putting out into the world and trying to have some like some statement to make, right? This is purely for my client to enjoy at her home. And then from there, if she wants to share, then she can. Mm. But like, it'd be different if I was like photographing for some like big brand piece, or like I'm trying to make my own art and like make a statement to the world about bodies or something. Then I wouldn't be doing things like that. But if it's my client and it only takes bringing the arm just a little bit for her to enjoy, for her to say, wow, this is so stunning. I look so beautiful, David. Thank you. And that, then it's an easy thing for me to do.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Speaking of photoshopping and stuff, do you think that creators have a responsibility to their audience and to the public to represent themselves in a accurate way? Basically, like, do you think creators have a responsibility to not Photoshop themselves to the point of like catfishing people, so people have realistic expectations of what beauty should be? Sorry, I really screwed that question up.
No, that's okay. A great question. I was like, holy shit, where does she form this question? Oh, geez. And have you guys seen that story of that one girl who, like, what is it? She's...
It's the one who, she's like 40-something.
Yes,
she,
yes.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about what you thought about her. That was where the question came from. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Wait, context.
I'll give you guys some context. So there is a I'm not going to name her name, but there is a very famous creator on social media, and the story is that presently she runs an account where she's in all the pictures, but she photoshops her pictures to the point where she's a beautiful, like 40 something year old woman. She's beautiful, by the way, but she photoshops her face to look like she's maybe like 18, right? Like very, very young. And a lot of people argue that like she is not being responsible as like a creator because she's not being truthful to her audience. And not only that, but she's like making herself look like, you know, like jailbait pretty much. Right. So she's like perpetuating like this, like pedophilia audience. And that's just not right. But on her end, she's arguing, look, I'm an artist. I'm actually like a digital artist. This is my form of art. I'm using myself as the subject and I do all of my photoshopping. And like the reason why I did this to begin with is because, you know, she was already a pretty famous cam girl slash like porn star, I think. Uh-huh, uh-huh. So she was like, I was photoshopping my pictures to begin with because I didn't want people recognizing me on the street. And then it just became my form of like self-expression.
Whoa.
So that was her response. I wanted to hear kind of what he thought about that.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, moving forward, it's only gonna get worse, mm-hmm. right? We have things like Meta now, Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh,
and
yeah,
his, like, Meta. Yeah. Oh, Facebook,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Facebook, yeah. Meta.
Like,
yeah.
What are they trying to do with the whole augmented reality?
Yeah,
and, it's like those movies that came out like 2-3 years ago, and just like you live in virtual reality and you can shape yourself however.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, then what happens there? When we get to literally choose to be an animal if we wanted to.
Yeah.
Right? And I think there's a part where us as consumers also have to get caught up and be like, oh, I can't trust everything online.
Mm.
Right? But I mean, as creators, of course, we have, you know, as a person creating content for a lot of people, of course, you can have responsibility. Mm. Shit, this is so deep. There's both sides.
There is.
There's both sides. I think as consumers, we have to realize, yeah, these are people who can literally post anything. They can be animating themselves. They can be like sizing something up, sizing something smaller. And we have to realize that and say, oh shit, like, let me just take them at face value for what they are on social media,
mm-hmm.
and maybe less so connected to some like reality. Because right? Then again, what happens when we go into living in like virtual reality?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I agree. I agree that like I think creators have a responsibility, but the audience also should have realistic expectations of what's being seen online isn't really an accurate representation of what reality is. It's a curated experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Like everything is curated.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jade?
Yeah, I think two sides too. But
yeah.
I mean, good for her. She's making a shit ton of money. So
I knew you were gonna say something like that.
Like, like good for her. Like she's a businesswoman. Yeah. She's smart, I think. Like,
yeah.
But a lot of guys are getting tricked, so that's the bad thing about it.
But I think the guys know and they're okay with being tricked. Like, they'll still pay for the content because it's very widely known that this is what she does. Like, she's not actually the girl in the pictures, but like they like the pictures and they like the content, so they continue to consume it. So that means that there's a market for it.
I like the content. I still follow her. Like,
listen, I mean, we live in like we love entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, we
yeah.
love getting away from reality. I mean, that's what movies are, right? Like, I love Marvel stuff. I'm a Marvel geek, so like I love watching Spider-Man and thinking I'm like flying through the air, and like you get to sort of detach yourself from reality and say, holy shit, this is so cool right now. To me, this is reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing I believe right now.
Mm.
And like we've been consuming that our entire lives, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's where like social media with content creators, it's like, you know, Hollywood's been around. We know, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like once we come out of the movie, like, oh, of course, there's no Spider-Man flying around.
Yeah.
Jade's like, there's no Spider-Man flying around.
Sorry to break it to you, Jade.
Spider-Man
don't exist.
You know, but like, I think it's weird. I mean, still social media is such a weird concept. You know, I don't know if they have enough study to, you know, really scientifically say if it's like healthy and negative, all that stuff. But I think when it gets more personal, because I mean, when we follow someone, it's a weird relationship that shouldn't exist. But we almost get invested in these people's lives by just following them. It's really, it's like the one-sided relationship that's really weird.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Like someone gets pregnant, like a celebrity gets pregnant and we're like, oh my gosh, yay, congratulations. We don't know anything about them.
That's true.
And it's a really odd relationship. And as content creators too, it's like, it's really weird. It's really odd. But I think social media makes it feel more like of a blurred reality than like watching a Hollywood blockbuster movie.
Yeah.
You know, but I think soon enough, like, you know, we have to catch up too as consumers, as we go into more technology to make it even more blurred. So, yeah.
I feel like in the future, we're all going to have like chips implanted and we could like put our souls into chips. Oh, and like shit. Transfer our like we don't our we're not going to be dead chips. Anymore. You know what I mean? Like we could live for. I feel like in the future, like people can like
Dad live forever. Jade's planning on living forever.
Yeah,
this is basically what she's saying. Jade's never planning on dying. Yes, neither Jade.
Let's go. Let's do this.
Elon was sort of working on things like that. I know he's
on a chip.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
There was something about
implant me, baby. Let's do it. Let's go.
Let's get it. Let's get it. Let's live forever, guys.
Is so he saw like consuming. He wanted to make consuming content on internet like more efficient. Mm-hmm. So like imagine like viewing your phone as like drinking from a really like tiny straw. But then he wanted to make it like, oh, you can just drink like this.
Just pour the bucket over your
head. Yeah, like he wanted that. He was like, oh, this is too inconvenient.
Yeah.
Because it takes too much time.
It takes too much time. Even this takes too much time. And we've advanced so far. But even this, for him, he was like, okay, how can we advance it even further? And it was through a chip where it was almost instantaneous. Yeah. And help you compute faster. Almost like, you know, when you type in Google, like... it almost like fills in the blank for you. So it would help you do those kind of things. And you can like almost be instantaneous with the internet.
Hey, but won't people get too powerful with this? Say you can like consume like a book, like with like just a chip. You know what I mean? I feel like people are going to get like too crazy.
You like, wanted Jade this, Jade. This is what
Jade
you wanted.
Jade is asking the right questions. She's like, people will be too powerful. Yeah. They can read all the books that they want.
Right? Like books make you powerful.
You asked for this life, Jade. Now you can't fucking take it back.
What if all of us are going to be like, powerful?
Only I want to read books instantaneously.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
You thought he was going to be special.
Yeah. No, yeah. I know he was working on something like that. I don't know where it is now. that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I want to get on this chip train. God.
And then like you can like almost telepathically talk to people with the people who have that. Right. So it's really freaking weird. Yeah.
Oh, when's it coming out? Soon, I hope.
I don't know. I did a research paper on this in college times. So I don't know. Maybe it won't be out next year. Who knows?
Oh my God. Don't worry about dying, guys. We're good. We're good.
Do you want to live forever?
Thank you, Elon. Yeah.
You want to be in some like.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Don't live you want to live forever?
I don't know.
Why? Know. You want to, like, why?
You're like, you want to die, David?
Jade's having an existential crisis right now. Right? Like,
I feel like, I mean, for me, knowing that my life is finite is the reason why I want to live every day. Like, it's why I want to live every day to the fullest.
I never thought about like, well, I do like, I'm like, don't you want to chill sometimes though?
Well, yeah. I mean, and then you appreciate the chill times even more. That's why when I mean, it's like, it's sort of like the intentional, right? It's the intention. If I say, hey, like to my friend, if I say, let's go hang out, then it should be that much more meaningful because we have finite time.
No. But like, don't you get scared?
Jade.
You don't get scared.
Jade, like, it's okay. It's okay. Like, you're like, we're very young. It's okay. Don't worry.
Okay. Elon, if you're watching this, please, like, for the sake of Jade,
hook me up with that chip.
Get her chipped. Get her chipped so she can read all the books.
Things that keep Jade up at night.
Yeah, you know it.
It's okay, Jade.
Transfer her soul to live forever.
Speaking of the future, let's talk about our current state and future. Let's talk about David's projects that's going on right now and maybe future projects, and then like your socials and stuff, plug them in.
Yeah. Definitely inspired now to work on Living Forever.
Yeah.
Yes, let's go. Inspired by
and reading more books, apparently. Mm-hmm. Do you read a books lot of make, books?
Well, I have a lot of books, but I just haven't gotten to it. I have the stack. It's
Jade, that's not your fault. That's Elon's fault.
It's Elon's fault. He didn't put Elon's the chip fault. In my brain.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
It's the game.
I'll be patient. I'll wait for it.
I'm waiting. For me, this year, big thing is education and teaching more people just on how to be more confident in front of the camera and learning ways to empower themselves. That's the foundation of everything that I teach. Even when it comes to posing, it's not me saying, oh, here are three poses for you for this reason. It's me saying, okay, try this out. Let me teach you how to fish versus giving you fish so you can empower yourself.
Yeah. Right?
It's like posing is like clothing. There's no one size fits all. There's no one pose fits all. And I want to teach people how to pose, right? Because we're all on this journey of self-image and we change, right? Our mindset change, our beauty standards change, our body changes. And I don't want to just give you three sets of poses.
Right.
You know, I want you to learn how to do that for yourself for your entire life. Right now I'm finishing up my first course called How to Be Phonogenic in 30 Days. Ooh. So it's a 30-day course.
Okay.
So I have 180 students who are going through beautiful transformations and they're graduating next week. Which is
this really an online thing?
Yes. Okay, it's like a hybrid learning experience where they get to watch pre-recorded videos, but then we have sort of office hours with me where they can ask, contextualize what they learned to their personal lives and where they're at. And then also we have these things called mission. I don't want to call it homework, where it's very important for them to take action and, you know, put into work what
mission,
they learned.
Mission, yeah.
And
let's go on some missions, guys.
Yeah. It's more fun.
Yeah, it is.
And yeah, they're graduating next week and I want to be doing this almost quarterly.
Okay.
And then putting out these 30-day courses, almost like a quarter system. Right. And so that's a big thing for me.
What's the website for it? We'll drop it in the description down below.
David-Sa.com.
Okay. Oh, that's easy to remember.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
What about your socials? Where can we find you?
David Sa on TikTok and David Sa Photo on Instagram. David Sa on Instagram, if you're watching this. Man, I still need that Instagram handle.
Give him his Instagram. Come on.
But yeah, David Sa on TikTok, David Sa Photo on Instagram, and also David Sa on YouTube. That's what I'm working on a lot year as well. Just longer form. I feel like the way I teach, it's better to give more time and teach more in depth through longer form. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, David, for coming on our podcast. You're an amazing person. You're very positive. We put Jade through a little bit of an existential crisis. Don't worry, Jade. We're gonna live forever.
Okay, I'm looking forward.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, David.
Thank you, guys.
All right. See you next time,
guys.
Bye,
fuck fam.